Mesechtes Bav Metzia, Daf Tes Bav, 17 lines from the top of Daf Tes Bav and Aleph, and we learned on Daf Yudal and Beis, Itmar, Hamecha Sadal Chaver, Venimtsa Shein Shaloi, if Reuven stole a field from Levi, and then Reuven sold this field to Shimon, and Shimon didn't know that it was stolen field, and then Levi comes and takes this field away from Shimon, so Rav Amma Yeshloi Mois, Vyeshloi Shevach, Rav says Shimon could go back to Reuven and collect his original money they paid for the property, and Reuven would also be responsible to pay Shimon for any improvements that he made to the land. However, Shmuel holds Ma'is Yishloi Shavach Einloi, and Rav Nachman explained that Shmuel holds that even if Reuven would have told Shimon, "I guarantee this field to you, and if someone comes and takes this field away from you, I will not only pay for your keren, but I'll also pay for the shavach." And even in that case, Shmuel holds that Reuven will not be responsible to pay for the improvements, as it's mechzeh keribis. And our Gemara now continues: "V'sav Shmuel lekech begazel lesli shvacha." Is it true that Shmuel holds that if Shimon buys a field from Reuven who stole this field, then when this field is taken away from Shimon, that Shimon cannot receive any money for his improvements, as it's mechzeh keribis, va'amle Shmuel Rav Chinna bar Shelis? But Shmuel said to Rav Chinna bar Shelis, who is a seifa, imlich v'chaseif shufra shvacha operi, that when a buyer and seller come to you and they hire you to write a shtam mecha for them, then prior to writing in a guarantee into the shtam mecha, you have to ask the seller if he allows you to write that guarantee. And for example, if Reuven is selling a field to Shimon, then you should ask Reuven if someone comes and takes this field away from Shimon, if you accept upon yourself to pay Shimon back from your idios, as if you don't tell me what to do, then you'd be goyim from beinus. And I'm also asking you if you also accept it upon yourself to pay for any improvements that Shimon made to your field in the interim period. And the zayfa should also ask Reuven if he accepts upon himself that if someone comes and takes away the peiros from Shimon, that you will also reimburse Shimon for his loss of peiros. And the Gemara now continues and asks, "B'mai, in what case was Shmuel saying this halacha? Even b'chayiv, if it's talking about a case where after Reuven sold his field to Shimon, then Levi, who had a lien against his kaka, came to Shimon and took away his kaka. So in that case, how could it be that Shimon will go back to Reuven and say he lost his peiros? However, mi islay peiri, does a bal chayiv ever have the right to collect peiros from Shimon? Va'am Shmuel, the Shmuel stated, bal chayiv goyves hashavach. Although a bal chayiv has a right to take the land that he has a lien against, and even if the lekeach improved the land, however, we medayik shavach in that Shmuel hold that the bal chayiv could only collect shavach av peiros loy, but Levi has no right to go and collect fully ripened peiros, as Lamaisa Shimon had a right to be in this field, and therefore when he planted these peiros, he was planting in a field that belonged to him, and they're fully ripened and ready to cut off the ground, and therefore these peiros belong to Shimon, and Levi can't collect these peiros. Therefore, when Shmuel said to Rav Chinna bar Shelis that imlich b'chasayiv shufra shvacha operi, he couldn't be talking about a case where b'chayiv came and gave the peiros from Shimon, and therefore the Gemara explains alab lekech migazlin. It must be that Shmuel was talking about a case where Reuven stole this field from Levi, and then Reuven sold the field to Shimon, and now Levi comes to collect the field from Shimon. In that case, not only could Levi collect the field and its improvements, but Levi can also collect the peiros from Shimon, and now Shimon has a right to go back to Reuven and collect for the money that he paid him for the field, as well as for the improvements, as well as the peiros that he lost. And clearly we see from here that Shmuel holds that even though Shimon bought this property from a gazlin, that Shimon still has the ability to collect the shevach from Reuven, and we see that we don't say that he can't collect the shavach, as that would be mechzeh keribis, and therefore we see against the way Rav Nachman understood Shmuel, and potentially Shmuel didn't say the halach at all. And the Gemara continues, "Om Rabbi Yosef hachemayis kinen kagoyin sheish lekaka." Rabbi Yosef explains that the case where Shmuel said to the seifa they should write in it imlich b'chasayiv shufa shvachu peri is actually speaking about a case where Reuven stole this field from Levi and he stole it to Shimon. And although generally Shimon can't go and collect the shavach from Reuven as it's mechzeh keribis, however, if when Shimon goes to collect his money from Reuven, Reuven only has kaka and he's paying back by using kaka, then Shimon has a right to even take the shavach from the kaka, since there's not an exact price for kaka. Therefore, when someone sees that Reuven gave a piece of kaka to Shimon, they won't know the exact appraised value of that kaka, and therefore, specifically in that scenario, it won't be mechzeh keribis. However, in Chanami, if Reuven is paying Shimon back and reimbursing him for the purchase of the land by using cash, then he can't pay for the shavach, as that would be mechzeh keribis. The Gemara continues, "Amalei Abaya, Abaya says Rabbi Yosef, v'chimuta lil v'sab b'sab b'bakim sheish l'kaka." We know that later on in the Masechta, legabi ribis, the Gemara will teach us that Reuven can't lend a sav chitin to Shimon on condition that Shimon will pay him back with a sav chitin, as even though you're giving him back the exact same amount that you borrowed, but ultimately there could be a fluctuation in market price, and therefore the Rabbanu Magoiza that you shouldn't do so. Would you say that if Shimon pays Reuven back with kaka, then they would not be oiva on the issa ribis? Of course, that should not make a chilek, and therefore, why why would it make a chilek in our case? And the Gemara answers, Amalei, Rabbi Yisrael responds to Abaya, Hasim Halva and Hachazvini, that in the case of Sabisa, we were talking about a scenario where the original transaction was a loan and Reuven lent the Sav Chitin to Shimon, and therefore the Issa of Sabisa even applies if Shimon pays Reuven back using Kaka. However, in our case, where the original transaction between Reuven and Shimon was set up as a purchase and not as a loan, therefore, once Reuven is paying Shimon back using Kaka, then it no longer is Mechzik Ribis, and therefore the Rabbanim were not Gozer in this scenario, and they said it was Mutta. And the Gemara continues, Ikad Amri, and another version of the Teretz of Rabbi Yosef is, Am Rabbi Yosef, Hachem Ayiskinen, could go in Shekhanim Yadoi, then in the case that Shmuel said to Rabbi Chinan Bashelis, Imlich Bechasayiv, Shufa, Shvachu, Peri, he was discussing a case where at the time where they wrote the Shtar Mecha, not only did Reuven obligate himself to pay for the Shabbach, but the Edom that were there also made a Kinyan, therefore at the time of the transaction, it is already considered that Reuven owes this money to Shimon, and therefore, even though at a later point we realize that Reuven stole this field from Levi, but ultimately it's not Mechse Karibis. As Rashi says, Shekanu miyadai ala shabach, tahavale mechuyu mishas hamecha, koidim shiye skar hamtonis mois. Gemara continues and has the same shakal of taya between Abai and Rabbi Yosef. Amalei Abai, and Abai asks his Rabbi Yosef, b'chimut lu v'isa b'sa b'makim shekanu miyadai, do you think that will be muta to lend a saw for a saw in a case where you're kanu miyadai? Certainly that would not help in the geya halva, and therefore why should it help in our case either? And Amalei and Rabbi Yosef once again responded to Abaya, Hasmava, in the case of Sabasa, it was initially structured as a loan, and therefore the Rabbanim were Geza, and they said that even if it's Kanam Yadai, you still have a problem with Mechse Karibis. However, Vahachazvini, in our case, it was structured originally as a purchase, and therefore, since at the time of the purchase it was Kanam Yadai, and since it wasn't structured originally as a loan, therefore the Rabbanim were not Geza, and they didn't say that it's a problem with Mechse Karibis. And of course, according to this version of Rabbi Yosef's Teretz for Shmuel, in Chanami, when Shmuel said, Lekech min Gazlin is less like Shvacha, he was discussing a scenario where it was like Kanam Yadai, and therefore it's Mechse Karibis, and Rabbanim were Geza, and therefore Shimon cannot get back his Shavach. And the Gemara continues, Gufa, we previously learned, Amma Shmuel, the Shmuel taught us, Balchayiv Goyvis HaShavach, that in a case where Levi lent money to Reuven, and Levi has a lien against Reuven's Sada, and then Reuven sells the Sada to Shimon, and now Levi comes to collect the field, then not only can Levi collect the field as it was at the time that Reuven had it, but Levi can even collect the improvements that Shimon made to this land. Not only does Levi not have to pay Shimon for these improvements, but he doesn't even have to pay Shimon for the actual expenses that he incurred when making these improvements. And the Gemara continues that Amar Rava, and Rava said, Hey, Dal, bring your raya to the din of Shmuel, as when a meicha writes a shtar mechira to a lekeach, the general format was as follows: Ano ekum va'ashpei va'abkei va'amrik zvine elon inun va'molein ushvachein ve'ekum kadomach v'tzavi zvine donan v'kabolayu. When Reuven sells a field to Shimon, then he writes in the shtar mecha, I will make sure that you could keep this field, and I will stand by you, and I'll also bring a quiet title action, and I will also purify and also cleanse this sale from anyone that comes to claim that they actually own this property and you had no right to this property, and I guarantee the actual purchase price as well as any expenses you have to improve the property as well as the actual improvements that you make to this property, and I will still buy them and I will guarantee it. And the Edom actually add in a clause to the shtar, and they say that we know that the buyer agreed to these conditions and to this tnai. Therefore Rava brings a raya to Shmuel that since this is the standard lashon that we write in a shtar mekach, so since we see that the seller is actually guaranteeing the improvements as well as any expenses to the buyer, and therefore, if a Balchayiv comes and collects the improvements from Shimon, then Shimon will not incur any loss, and therefore it makes sense that Shmuel stated that Balchayiv is Goyvis HaShevach. The Gemara continues, Omle Rav Chiya Ba'Oven L'Rava, so Rav Chiya Ba'Oven says to Rava, El Me'ata, if this is your Raya based on what's written in the Shtar Mecha, so Matana V'Loi Kosel Le'Hachi, in a case where Reuven gave a present to Shimon, and in that case, a Shtar Matana generally doesn't have this language, as why would Reuven guarantee a Matana to Shimon? And would you say, Hachi Nami D'Loi Tarav Shivcha, that according to Shmuel, Balchayiv will not be able to be geiva any of the improvements that someone that received the gift made to his land, as Lemaisa, the person that received the gift, will not be able to be reimbursed from Reuven, and therefore we should say that in the case where Reuven gave matana to Shimon, that a Balchayiv cannot come and collect the shvach from Shimon. And the Gemara continues, on Malay in that Rav said to Rav Chiya, that in the Chanami, in a case of matana, where the shtar mecha doesn't have a guarantee and doesn't have this lashon, that in the Chanami, Levi will not be able to collect the shvach from Shimon. And the Gemara continues, that it seems very unlikely if Shimon bought a field from Reuven and he improves it, that Levi could take away the Shevach from Shimon. And meanwhile, if Shimon received a gift from Reuven and he improves it, that Shimon would not lose his Shevach. It would come out, at least Legabi this din, that the din of matana is actually stronger than the din of mecha, and l'chayra generally makes sense that someone that bought something should have stronger rights than someone that received something from matana because they expended money. And the Gemara says, Amalei, the Rav is set to Rav Chiya in Yafa v'Yafa, that in the Chanami, at least l'gabit is din, the outcome of the rights of a person that received a matana will be greater and stronger than the rights of someone that bought something with money. And as Rashi says, Yafa v'Yafa b'davazeh, the kivin de l'ha de gavale, since Shimon cannot get his money back from Reuven, loy mafsidin le b'midi le afsidin l'bachayiv, therefore in the case where Reuven gave Shimon a matana, we will not take away the improvements from Shimon. If we do take away the improvements from Shimon, then Shimon will never be able to get back this money from Reuven, and Shimon will incur a loss, and by not allowing Levi to actually collect from the Shevach, you're actually not causing any loss to Levi, because Levi originally would have only gotten the field from Reuven, Bashar Husham, and there were no improvements on that field. Therefore, in Chanami, in this case, we won't allow Levi to benefit on the back of Shimon, and when Shimon is incurring the loss. And Rashi is now bothered that L'chira, we should also say the Svarah b'negeya the actual Gufa Kaka, since Reuven gave this Kaka to Shimon as a gift, so therefore, when Levi takes the Kaka away from Shimon, Shimon will incur a loss, as Reuven didn't guarantee the Kaka and the Matana to Shimon. And Rashi explains the Bishleim Gufa Shel Kaka, that we understand b'negeya the actual Kaka, that Levi can't take this from Shimon, as Amalei, as Levi will say to Shimon, Amai Kabalti, why do you take this present from Reuven, me'ined v'choyvi, and where would you think that I'm going to go and collect my choy from? However, b'negeya any improvements that Shimon made to this land, so Shimon will respond to Levi, that l'maisa, I didn't cause you any loss by actually making these improvements to this land, and therefore you should only be able to take the actual kaka from me, and you can't take the improvements because I will incur a loss. Before we continue with the next Gemara, let's just point out that we just brought a raya to the Shita of Shmuel based on the Lashon that's written in the Shtam Mecha, and Taisa and Dima Masal Teida is Vim Taima Umay Raya Hui Dilma Mayer Belekech Megazlan the Nigzal Vada Isle Shvacha. Maybe when Meicher writes the Lekech that I'm guaranteeing the Shevach, maybe he's only guaranteeing it in a case where he actually stole the land. And certainly all agree that if Reuven stole land from Levi, then Levi could go and take the land back from Shimon, and he could also collect the improvements. And possibly when the Meicher is writing this to Lekech, he's not discussing a case where Levi is about Chayiv and comes to take the Kaka and the Shevach from Shimon, as possibly in that case a Baal Chayiv cannot collect the Shevach from Shimon. He states, V'yish Lema, D'il Lekech Min HaGazlan Ayri, Havali Lemchtav Nami Pirein, El Mayer Baal Chayiv Les Leperi, as if the reason why they write this clause into a Shtam Mecha is in order to cover a case where Reuven is selling a field to Shimon that he stole from Levi, and in order to make sure that Shimon is secure, that he knows that Reuven will pay him back. If someone comes and claims that the land belongs to him and Reuven stole the land, in that case, Levi will be able to come and take the actual land and also take the improvements. But in that case, not only will Levi be able to come and take the land and the improvements, but Levi will also be able to come and take any peiros, even if those peiros are fully grown and fully ripened, and therefore the clause should actually mention peiros. Elamai, it must be that this clause is actually placed into a shtar mecha in order to protect the buyer from someone that comes and claims that he's owed money from Reuven and he has a lien against the Sada, and therefore from the Lashon of Shtar we see like Shmuel that Baal Chayv is Goyves HaShevach, and L'chayv the reason why they don't write into a Shtar the Lashon of Piris in order to include a case where this actual Sada was stolen based on Taisus L'shitasai that Taisus taught us earlier, that if Reuven stole a field from Levi and then he sold it to Shimon, that certainly in that case, even if Reuven was not Mekabel HaChayis and did not guarantee his purchase, then certainly Reuven is going to be Chayiv to pay Shimon, and therefore there's no reason to write these clauses into a Shtar Mechira. Where it continues, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman states, Hamastisim Seyelig Mashmuel, that from the following Braisa we could bring a Raya to Shmuel, and the Baal Chayiv is Goyves HaShevach, however, Vuhuna Chavrim Mukula B'mili Achrinoi, but our friend Rav Huna, he actually says that this Braisa is talking about a different din, and therefore it won't be a Raya to Shmuel. The Tanya, as we learned the Braisa, HaMeicha Sadal Chaveri, Barei Yoytzu Mitachas Yodai, if Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and Levi has a previous lien against his Sada, and now Levi comes and takes this field from Shimon. Now that Shimon has a claim against Reuven, Kishu Goiva, when Shimon comes to get his money back from Reuven, Goivas Akarim and Chasim Shubadim, then Shimon can get reimbursed for his original purchase price, either from Reuven himself or from the Lekuchis of Reuven that bought a Sada from Reuven after the point that Shimon bought the Sada from Reuven, the Shevach Goivim and Chasim Necharin, and Shimon can come and collect the Shevach from Reuven from the Chasim Necharin. And once again, we see that Shimon has a right to collect the Shevach from Reuven, and therefore Shimon will not incur a loss, and therefore Levi has a right to not only be Goiva the actual property from Shimon, but it could even be Goiva the improvements. And Rav Nachman continues, and our friend Huna says that we can't bring a raya to the case of Shmuel, as in this case we were talking about a scenario where Reuven stole this field from Levi and then sold it to Shimon, and now Levi comes to collect this field from Shimon, and certainly Levi has a right to collect not only the field but even the shavach. And as we explained before, and Rashi states over here mefurish, b'lekech megazlin, the nigzal vade tar shvacha, as certainly the one who was stolen from can't go and collect the shvach, the amalei ari ashbach, as Levi says to Shimon, that lemaisa you never had a right to this land, and you just improved my land, and therefore, as we will see, although Levi will have a responsibility to pay Shimon back for any expenses that he incurred, however, he still has a right to take the improvements, as it was his land that Shimon improved. However, quite possibly, the din would be that in the case where Reuven sold the field to Shimon, at that point, Shimon had a right to be in this field, and he had a right to improve the sada, as it was really his field at that point, and therefore, even though Levi comes and now says, I have pre-existing lien, that Levi would not have a right to take the shavach and take the improvements from Shimon, and therefore Rav Huna felt that you wouldn't have a raya from this din to the din of Shmuel. The reason why Rav Nachman didn't learn this brisa like Rav Huna is exactly as we said from Taisus, as since this brisa only speaks about the actual sada and its improvements, and it doesn't speak about Paris, therefore we see that this brisa is not talking about a case of lekech migazlin, and is talking about a case where Bachayv comes to collect from Shimon. And the Gemara continues, Tani Idach, we learned in another brisa, Hamecha sad l'chaveir v'eshbicha, ubo Bachayv v'tarfa, so kishu goiva im ha-shevach, yes al yitzia, neitel sa shevach mi-bal ha-kaka, v'yitzia mi-bachayv, v'yitzia yitzir al ha-shevach, in lo elo yitzah, shia shevach mi-bachayv. Reuven sells a field to Shimon for $1,000, then Shimon spends $250 in order to improve the sada, and the sada is now worth $1,500. Then Levi, who was a Bachayv of Reuven and is owed $1,500, comes and collects the entire sada from Shimon, and the Brisa teaches us that when Shimon now goes to get reimbursed from Reuven, so if the case was as we stated, where the improvement was worth $500 and Shimon only spent $250, so then Shimon will be able to collect the $250 of his expenses from Levi, and Shimon will be able to collect the $250 of net improvements, and he'll be able to collect that from Reuven. However, if Shimon spent $500 in expenses and the property value only went up by $250, so in that case, Shimon will only be able to collect up to $250 from Levi. And let's keep in mind that we stated that Shmuel holds Abachayv Goyves HaShavach, Levi who is Abachayv has a right to collect all of the improvements from Shimon, and we originally stated that Shimon holds that Levi will not even have to pay for Shimon's expenses. We also already mentioned that if Reuven actually stole a piece of property from Levi and then he sold to Shimon, now Levi comes and is tevei the kaka from Shimon, then Levi could collect not only the actual kaka but also the Shavach and the payers. In that case, we mentioned that Levi will have to pay for Shimon's expenses. As we will see, that in that case, Shmuel holds that Shimon cannot go and collect the improvements from Reuven. Our Gemara now continues, and from this brisa, asks a question on Shmuel, Vashmuel b'may mukmula, how will Shmuel be able to explain this brisa as ibel kech megazlin, as if the brisa is talking about a case where Reuven stole a sada from Levi and then he sold it to Shimon, and now Levi comes to collect the sada from Shimon, b'lachir kasha resha, in that case it will be shver for the resha, the amma Shmuel, because as we stated, Shmuel holds lekech megazlin less leishvacha, that if Reuven stole a field from Levi and he sold to Shimon and Shimon improves the land, then if Reuven pays Shimon back for his improvements, then it will be mechzik ribis, and therefore Shimon cannot collect his improvements from Reuven. How could it be that Brisa taught us in Mashavach Yisrael Yitzia Noitel Sashavach mi Bala Kaka that Shimon could collect the improvements from Reuven? Even Balchayv, and if you're going to tell us that this Brisa is talking about a case where Reuven sold a field to Shimon and then Levi, who had a lien against his property, comes and takes the property and its improvements away from Shimon, so lechayr kasher resha v'seifa, dam Shmuel Balchayv goyves haShavach, and certainly the Balchayv can't collect the Shavach, and the Balchayv is not responsible to pay Shimon back for his expenses. Shimon would only have a right to collect his expenses directly from Reuven, and therefore, how could the Brisa stand in the resha in Mashavach Yisrael Yitzia that you goyve the Yitzia mi Balchayv? In the Sefer, we also stated that im Yitzia seir al haShavach ain lo elo yitzah shir Shavach mi Balchayv, and certainly with Shmuel, Shimon should not be able to collect his expenses from Levi. The Gemara continues, Ibo Yisemo, either I could tell you, but Lekech Megazlin, that we're talking about a case where Reuven stole this field from Levi, and even though generally the din is that Reuven doesn't have to pay the Shevach to Shimon as it's Mechzik Ribis, however, we're talking about a case, Kagoyin Sheish LeKaka, Reuven only has Kaka to pay Shimon back, as we saw in the first version of our Basif at the beginning of the Amid, that in that case there was no problem with Mechzik Ribis. That's why the ratio of this price says, Ima Shevach Yesel Yetia, Noitel Sashevach Bibala Kaka, and it's not Mechzik Ribis, Inami, or like the second side of our Basif that we had before, that we're talking about a case of a Kanam Yadai that the Edom actually made a Kinyan, and therefore, as we explained in the second version of our Basif, that in that case, it's also nach mechzei karibis. Therefore, now that Levi comes and takes back his stolen property from Shimon, and Levi also took the improvements that Shimon made away from Shimon, so Shimon could go back to Reuven and collect for the kaka as well as for the improvements. And the Gemara continues, Iba yisemo, or I could respond, b'bachoyv, that the Bryce is actually talking about a case where Reuven did not steal this kaka from Levi, and Reuven sold his own kaka to Shimon, and then Levi, who had a pre-existing lien against Reuven's field, comes and takes the field away from Shimon, even though we know that Shmuel holds b'chayiv goyves ha-shevach, and therefore the b'chayiv should not have to pay for Shimon's expenses either, and therefore was shver from the ration to save for this b'risa. However, like kasha, it's not going to be shver. And we continue on that test bar and bays, kam b'shevach ha-megir l'ksefayim, kam b'shevach she'in ha-megir l'ksefayim, that in the b'risa where we stated that Shimon will be able to collect the expenses from Levi, that was talking about cases where these pirus were completed, and either the lashon ha-megir l'ksefayim is referring to the grain, which is so tall that it reaches up to someone's shoulders, or it's referring to the fact that once someone cuts grain off of the ground, they would then collect the grain and place it on their shoulders. But in either case, we're talking about grain that's completely ripened. In that case, even though generally Shmuel holds that b'chayiv goyves ha-shevach and Levi doesn't have to pay for Shimon's expenses, but in a case where the pirus were fully ripened, then Levi has to pay for Shimon's expenses. However, when Shmuel paskin b'chayiv goyves ha-shevach and he doesn't have to pay for Shimon's expenses, that was talking about a case where the pirus may have been done, but they weren't completely ripe. In that case, Levi could actually collect the entire shevach, and he doesn't even have to pay for Shimon's expenses. Ayin Rashi, even though we said that the case of the Brice is talking about a case of shevach shemagil ksefayim, however, Rashi says that this grain still needed the ground and still needed some nourishment from the ground, as if this grain would not need the ground at all, then we would look at it as if it's mamish cut off the ground. In that case, Levi would not even be able to actually collect the shevach and would not be able to take these pirus away from Shimon, and Shimon would actually retain these payers. Gemara continues and asked in the second teretz, that we know that there are many stories where Shmuel actually collects from a buyer and he allows a Baal Chayiv to go and collect even those payers that are Megil Ksefayim, and he doesn't require that they compensate the buyer for the buyer's expenses. And therefore we see that Shmuel is not Mechal between Shevach HaMegil Ksefayim and Shevach She'in HaMegil Ksefayim. The Gemara answers, Lekasha, that's not Shver, as Hod Masak Bekashir Aru Shvacha, that when did Shmuel allow someone to collect the shevach that was Megillah Kesefayim, he didn't require them to compensate Shimon for any expenses. That is in a case where Reuven's Sada was originally worth $1,000, and now Shimon improved the Sada, and the Sada is worth $1,500. Levi is owed $1,500 for Reuven, and therefore we allow Levi to go and collect the full $1,500 and the entire kaka from Shimon. In that case, although Shimon had $250 of expenses, but Levi doesn't have to compensate Shimon, as Lemaisa, his loan equals the entire value of the property. However, when the Brice stated that Levi has to compensate Shimon for his expenses, that was talking about a scenario where Levi actually only lent $1,000 to Reuven, and therefore when Levi comes to collect this land from Shimon, although Levi is only owed $1,000 from Reuven, but Levi has a right to take the full Sada and take $1,500 of property away from Shimon. However, since Levi Lemaisa was getting more than he originally lent to Reuven, therefore the Brice teaches us that Levi can throw Shimon out of this Sada, and even though Shimon may claim to Levi that you only owed $1,000, and therefore I'll give you $1,000 worth of property. But in this case, Levi could say to Shimon that Lemaisa, I have a lien against the entire property, and therefore I can take the entire property as long as I pay the difference between the amount that Reuven owes me and the current value of the property. And as it is Muchach from Rashi, then in this case, not only will Levi have to pay $250 to Shimon for his expenses, Levi will actually have to pay a full $500 to Shimon based on the fact that Shimon had improvements of $500, and Levi only had a right to collect $1,000 from Shimon. Ayin Rashi, who's bothered that L'chari, if that's true, that Levi will actually have to pay for the full improvements and he'll have to pay $500 to Shimon, then L'chari, why the ratio to Bryce estate by Yitzirin Baal Chayiv, that Shimon has a right to collect his expenses from Levi? L'chari, in the case of the Bryce, Shimon has a right to collect the entire improvement from Shimon and he could collect the full $500. And as Rashi states in Dibur Masal Ha, behind the Nukal Milse Beloshin Yitzir, V'loitana Neutel Keneged HaChayim Baal Kaka, and Rashi explains Lashminon Higufa also the Hechad Yitzir Yisera LaShevach Ein LaYitzir Sheir Shevach. As we want to teach you the din of the Seifa, that if the expenses are more than the actual improvements, then certainly in that case Shimon can only collect up to the value of the improvements. Shimon will not be able to collect from Levi the full amount of his expenses that he actually incurred. And Gemara continues and asks a question: Hanich LaMadama Yis LeZuz LeKech LeMotzi Mesalik LeLabal Choyev Shaper. That this works out very well according to the Madama Mesechtes Ksubis that holds holds that if Reuven owes money to Levi, and Levi comes back to Reuven and tries to collect his chayiv, and since Reuven doesn't have money, so Levi now goes and tries to collect from Lekuchais, and he goes to Shimon to try to collect his land, even if Shimon would say to Levi that I don't want you to take this piece of property, and instead I'll pay off the entire value of the amount that you owed from Reuven, and even so, Levi could respond to Shimon that I wanted this land, and that's why I actually took a mortgage against this land, and you have no right to pay off Reuven's chayiv and Reuven's obligation, and I have a right to take the sada. Therefore, certainly it makes sense that even though Levi is only owed $1,000 and this sada is now worth $1,500, Levi says to Shimon that Lemaisa, I had a lien against this property, and therefore I have a right to the full sada, including the improvements, and all I have to do is pay the difference between what Reuven owed to me and what the land is now valued at. However, the Gemara is that according to the Manda Omer, that holds that when Levi comes to Shimon and tries to foreclose on Shimon's piece of property, that Shimon could say to Levi that I will give you money and I'll pay off Reuven's chayiv, and therefore you can't take this property. If so, let Shimon say to Levi, if I would have money, I would be able to give you $1,000 and you would not be able to take this property. Now that I don't have $1,000, at least I should get a piece of land that's the value of the $500 of my value that I added to this land. And how could it be that Levi could actually force Shimon to give him the entire land and pay Shimon $500 if Shimon should say to Levi that you only have a right to demand $1,000, therefore you could only take a piece of this property and you'll only be able to take a parcel of this property that's valued at $1,000. And the Gemara answers, Hachem Mayaskinan Kagoyin Shaso Apoitki the Amalei Lohi Lechaparayin Elamizu, that the case of the Brisa is in a scenario where when Levi lent the money to Reuven, he actually specified against which piece of kaka of Reuven that he has a lien, and therefore even according to the Manda Omer that ki islei zuz lekech matzi misalak leil b'chayv, but over here, since this was the actual deal, therefore certainly Shimon cannot force Levi to take money, and therefore Levi has a right to the full property, and Levi could force Shimon to give him the entire property and only pay Shimon for the difference between the amount that Reuven owes him and the increased value of the property based on Shimon improving the land. And as we know, the Lashon HaPoitki is from the Lashon HaPoitekai, that my lien will be against this specific piece of kaka. And prior to continuing with the next Gemara, let's just remember that we had a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel in a case of a meichas sada l'chaver v'nimtza she'in shalai, if Reuven sold a field to Shimon and Shimon did not know that Reuven actually stole this sada from Levi, and then Levi comes and takes the sada away from Shimon, and Rav Amar yesh lo mayis v'yesh lo shavach, and Rav hold that Shimon has a right to be reimbursed from Reuven for his purchase price as well as for his improvements. And Shmuel said, mayis yesh lo and shavach inloy, and as we explained, because Shmuel was chayish, that's mechse karibis. Our Gemara now continues, if we had a similar case where Reuven sold a field to Shimon, but Shimon already knew that Reuven actually stole this field from Levi, and then Levi came and took the sada away from Shimon, and Amar Rav, in this case, Rav holds mayis yesh lo shavach inloy, although Reuven will be responsible to reimburse Shimon for his purchase price, but Reuven will not have to reimburse Shimon for his improvements. And Shmuel Amar filo mayis inloy, and Shmuel says that in this case, Reuven will not even have to reimburse Shimon for his purchase price. The Gemara is, but Micah Miflegi, what is the basis for the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel? As Rav sava adam yedei shekaka inloy v'gam v'nasal l'shem v'kodin, that since Reuven know that he really can't buy the sada from Reuven, since Reuven stole it, and therefore when Shimon bought this property from Reuven and he gave money to Reuven for the purchase price, he actually intended to give this money to Reuven for a pekodin and for Reuven to watch it. And the Gemara is, v'nei malei l'shem pekodin, if this was Shimon's original intent, then why didn't he just go over to Reuven and ask him to watch his money? And the Gemara tells us, savalei mekabel, that Shimon thought that Reuven would not be mekabel the shmira, and he wouldn't want to take any achrayas, any responsibility for Shimon's money. And this way, Shimon said, I'm buying this field from you, and Shimon understood that if the gazlan will now come back and take the sada from him, then Shimon will go back to Reuven, and Reuven will now have to give him back his money, and even if a gneva v'aveda would have happened to the money, Reuven would still be responsible to give him back his full money. And this way, he was able to find a loophole that Reuven will watch his money and actually take on himself a great amount of achrayas. And the Gemara continues with Shmuel Sava, Adam Yedea Shekaka Inloy, the Gam V'nasal L'Shem Atana, that Shmuel also agrees to Rav that Shimon understood that he can't buy this kaka from Reuven, and even so, he went and gave money to Reuven because he wanted to give Matana to Reuven. And the Gemara says, V'nei Malei L'Shem Atana, that Lefi Shmuel, then why didn't Shimon just give Matana to Reuven? And why did he have to go and try to buy this sada, which he knew was not a real transaction, in order to give Matana to Reuven? And the Gemara answers, Ksifalei Milsa, that he knew that Reuven Reuven wouldn't want to accept the matana, as he would be embarrassed, and therefore he said, I really want to buy a sada, even though Shimon knew that he wasn't actually buying the sada, and he was only giving the money to Reuven as a matana. And certainly Shimon knew that if Levi comes and wants to take back the sada, then he'll be able to take it from Shimon. And of course, keep in mind that the Gemara seems to be shvera, as how could we say that Rav and Shmuel were being chilek in this fashion? Rav and Shmuel both told us that we're talking about a case where Shimon went into the sada, and not only did he buy it from Reuven in order to give him matana or in order to give him pekadin, but he actually went and improved the sada. And l'chayy, why would he improve his sada that he knows that it doesn't belong to him? And the Gemara will discuss this point in a moment. And the Gemara first continues and states, v'apligi be'chad zimna, the l'maisa, the same machlekes between Rav and Shmuel that we find over here, b'negeya, a case of gezel, we also find in the case b'negeya kedushin, the itmar, as we learned, ha'makadish ha'chaysay, if Reuven goes and tries to be makadish his sister, and as we know, certainly his kedushin will not be typhus. The question is, does Rachel have to give this money back to Reuven? And Rav Amar Mayis Chayzrin, and Rav holds that Rachel will have to return the money to her brother Reuven, Ushmuel Amar Mayis Matana, and Shmuel holds that we look at this money as if it was a Matana, and therefore Rachel doesn't have to give the money back to Reuven. And once again, the Gemara explains that the basis for the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel is that Rav Amar Mayis Chayzrin, as Adam Yideish in Kedushin Taisim Machayse, Vigam Venasal and Shimpakadin, that a person knows that his Kedushin will not be typhus with his sister, and when he gave her this money, it was only in order that she should watch the money, and therefore she is considered a Shemer, and she has to return the money to Reuven. And once again, the Gemara asks, "V'nei Malal L'Shem Pekadin." So why did Reuven have to go through this whole farce and try to be Mekadosh's sister if he could have just told her that I'm giving you this money and I want you to watch it for me? And the Gemara tells us, "Savalei Mekabel Midei." He thought that she wouldn't want to be Mekabel to be a Shemer for him. And Shmuel Aman, Shmuel states, "Ma'is Matana." Once again, Adam Yedesh in Kedushin Taisa Bachayse V'Gam V'Nasal L'Shem Matana. And since Reuven knew that his Kedushin will not be typhus, therefore when he gave this Ma'is L'Kedushin to his sister, he really meant to give her a Matana. And once again, the Gemara asks, "V'nei Malal L'Shem Matana." So why did he have to go through this whole mice of Kedushin? He should have given her this money and given to her as Matani directly. And the Gemara once again tells us, Ksifla Musa, that he knew that his sister would be embarrassed to take money from him, and therefore he did it with Derek Kedushin. And the Gemara continues, Tricha, that we need the two machleks in between Rav and Shmuel, one benegay the case of Gezel, where Shimon buys a sod of Reuven, and Shimon knew that Reuven stole the field, and one benegay the case of Kedushin, where Reuven was a Mekadosh's sister, and in both cases, Rav held that it's considered a Pekadin, and in both cases, Shmuel held that the money is considered a Matana. And the Gemara continues and explains the Itma Bahar as if we would bring down the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel in our Gemara by Lekech Min HaGazlin, Bahar Kamar Rav, Dolei Avdi Inshi, Diyav Matanas L'Nukhra. As over here we would say that Rav says that when Shimon gave the money to Reuven, he considered it a Pekadin, as it doesn't make sense that Shimon would want to give a present to someone that's unrelated to him. However, but if we wouldn't bring down the case of Kedushin, then we would think that in that case, that even Rav would agree to Shmuel, that when Reuven gave this money to Rachel for Kedushin, that he meant to give it to her as a matana, since Rachel is his sister, and therefore it makes sense that he wants to give her a present. And if we would say the machlekes of Rav and Shmuel b'negei kedushin, then one may have thought b'hakam Shmuel that is only over there that Shmuel says that's considered a matana, because it makes sense that he wants to give a matana to his sister. Aval b'har im moidalei l'Rav, but in our Gemara where it was lekech min hagazlin, so maybe he would be moidalei to Rav. That certainly it doesn't make sense that Shimon would want to give Reuven a matana, and since Reuven is unrelated to him, and you may think that it actually is a pekadin, and he would agree to Rav. And Kamash Mulan, then both cases, Rav and Shmuel argue, and it doesn't make a difference if it's a case of Lekech Min HaGazlin or in a case where Reuven was Mekadosh's sister, then in both cases, Rav holds that the Mois is considered a Pekadin, Shmuel holds that the money is a Matana. Gemara continues and now goes back to our Sugya that we said by the case of Lekech Min HaGazlin, that Rav holds that since Shimon knew that he was buying it from a Gazlin, therefore he was giving the money to Reuven as a Pekadin, and therefore Shimon has a right to get back his purchase price from Reuven, even though he will not have a right to collect for his improvements. And Shmuel held that since Shimon knew that Reuven was a Gazlin, therefore when he was buying the kaka from Reuven, he was trying to give a matana to Reuven. Therefore, Shimon would not have a right to be reimbursed neither for his purchase price or for any improvements that he made to this land. And the Gemara now is the question that we mentioned beforehand, that L'chira, how could it be that Shimon would actually go into this field and actually improve this land? If L'chira, Shimon knew that this land was stolen and he knew that he was only giving the money to Reuven either as a pekadin or as a matana, and as the Gemara states, Bein l'Rav da'am pekadin, Bein l'Shmuel da'am matana, Hay la'ar b'may kanachas superior hecha achol, how could it be that Shimon actually went into the field and improved the land? And how could it be that after he improved the land and pears grew, that he actually was eating all the pears until the point that Levi came and took the field away from Shimon? As Rashi adds in, al kachach savahaya, so it must be that Shimon actually thought sheheh mecha kayim, that the actual sale was valid, v'lo yehoi baki b'din, and he actually was not a baki in the dinim, the time of the plucked Rav Shmuel, time Machrinu, and therefore it must be that the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel is based on a different idea and a different point. The Gemara answers that certainly Shimon knew that since Reuven stole the Sada, therefore Shimon's purchase from Reuven is not a valid purchase, and certainly Kaka in Nigzelis, and therefore Reuven had no right to sell this property to Shimon. However, even so, Shimon decided to go into the field and improve the land and even eat the pears. And Savan no Ichis La'ara V'Abed Ve'Echel Begavei Kehechad Avakavet Iu Ulchi Asim Mari De'Ara Zuzay Nehavoy. That Shimon thought to himself that ultimately Reuven already stole this field from Levi, and Lemaisa Levi is not coming and complaining to Reuven and taking this field back yet, and Reuven will stay in this field and continuously improve the field and eat its pears. And therefore Shimon makes a cheshbon that I'll give money to Reuven and I'll make it as a purchase, and therefore I'll at least have the rights to the pears until the point that Levi comes to take the Sada back. Rav held that when Shimon gave the money to Reuven, he understood that it won't be a full-fledged mechira, but ultimately he knew that his money is safe and Reuven will watch his money, and he also has this fringe benefit that during this period of time he'll be able to eat the pears of the Sada, and therefore it's a win-win situation for Shimon. And Shmuel held that when Shimon gave this money to Reuven, he wanted to give Reuven a matana, but he also felt that he'll get a fringe benefit in the meantime, and at least up until the point that Levi comes and takes the field away from Shimon, Shimon will be able to eat the pears. Shimon also feels that he'll improve the land, as ultimately Levi may never come and take back the Sada, and certainly in that case Shimon will be able to keep the Shevach as well as the pears. And as the Gemara says, L'Rav da'am pekodin, pekodin, and L'Shmuel da'am matana, matana. And the Gemara continues and brings three Piskei Halacha, as Amar Rava, Rava stated, Hilchasa yesh le'mois v'yesh le'shevach va'afa pish le'pirish le'sashvach. Number one, in the first machlekes that we have between Rav and Shmuel, where Reuven stole a field from Levi, and Shimon did not know that the field was stolen, and Shimon bought this field from Reuven, and then Levi comes and takes the field away from Shimon, the halacha is that Reuven can be compensated for the original purchase price, and then we receive that money from Reuven, and Shimon will even be able to be compensated for any improvements that he made to this land. We paskin like Rav, and we don't paskin like Shmuel, and we don't say that's mechse karibis. This halacha even applies in a case where Reuven was not mekabel on himself to pay the improvements back to Shimon. Therefore, he also paskins against Shmuel that said that Shevach tzarech limolech. Rava paskins that benegiyah Shevach, Zoifer doesn't have to ask the intent of the moicher, and the buyer always has the ability to collect the Shevach from the seller. And Rava continues and brings a second psak halacha, hikabash ein shalei b'lacha, mois yesh loy Shevach ein loy, that in the second machlekes that we had between Rav and Shmuel, in the case where Reuven stole a property from Levi, and he sold this property to Shimon, and Shimon knew that this property was stolen, in that case, once again, he passes like Rav, that mois yesh loy and Shevach ein loy. And Rava continued with psak number three, that if there's a shtar choiv, and the shtar is silent, if there's actually a lien on property, and for example, if Levi lent $1,000 to Reuven, and the shtar choiv does not state that it was a lien created on all of Reuven's properties, that we still say that achrayis tayis sefer, and therefore it's as if there was a lien written into the shtar, and certainly all of Reuven's assets are meshubed to Levi. And similarly, if Reuven sold a field to Shimon, and the shtar is silent, if Reuven guaranteed this field to Shimon or not, and then Levi comes and forecloses on this piece of property as he had a prior lien because Reuven owed him money, so even though the shtar mecher did not say that Reuven actually guaranteed the sale, we still consider that Reuven guaranteed the sale, and therefore Shimon could go back to Reuven, get reimbursed from Reuven for his previous purchase price, and potentially for his shevach, depending on the scenario, as we previously learned. And as Rashi says, "V'achrayis tayis seifu v'leslan de Shmuel," and once again, Rav is passing against Shmuel, the Omar, who previously taught us shibud tzarech l'molech, that when writing a shtar mecha, that the seifer has to ask the seller if he actually was mekabel himself al chayis, and if he guarantees the sale, and we will stop over here.